as I was asked abruptly to fill in for the pastor, I wasn't. I didn't struggle at all with what I might share this morning. I struggled more with which thing I might share. I have so many messages that I just would love to share with y'all. But under the circumstances that have taken our pastor from our presence this morning, it quickly became very apparent and very easy for me to determine the message that I would share with you this morning. And indeed, without any doubt, the Lord has laid it strongly on my heart to share this message with you this morning due to the circumstances that has taken our pastor from us. A lot of things in life that are tough. You're all familiar with that for sure. And it's been hard. It's been hard for me, and I know it's been hard for all of you to watch Brenda's battle and watch Gene. Have to see someone that he loves so much suffer the way that she has. And you can each think of your own situations in life. You've all been there. That cause you a little bit to say to yourself, God, where are you? How can you be such a great God of love and yet things like this we have to go through in life? So anyhow, perhaps I'll need some tears later, but now that I got that out of the way, the title of my message this morning is No Love Like So Loved. And I'll have you stand briefly once again in honor of God's word if you're able, and if not, stand in your heart. You don't need your Bibles. I read the scripture text leading up to the key verse for my message today, and all of you know it by heart. It's perhaps the most well-known verse of scripture in God's word. Many, many, many who don't even know him and accept him as God know this passage of scripture. Follow along or recite it together with me. John 3:16. Let's begin together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, and I'll ask the Lord's blessing, and then I'll move right along. Kind Heavenly Father, I need your help. You know, even better than these people. I can't accomplish much without you. Need your help this morning, Lord. Help me to express your word and your incredible love for mankind, for all humanity, in a way that somehow does it justice. That's a tough task, because there's indeed no love like you so loved the world. I just thank you for that, Lord, and I need your help this morning, and help each one of us, Lord, to receive what you have for us to receive this morning. We need your revelating spirit for that, Lord, and I thank you for it, Lord, and ask for it in a special way this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. You may be seated. The title of my message today is No Love like so loved, then there is indeed no love that any of us can experience like God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that we might be saved, whosoever believeth on him. Everybody, to begin here, I'd just like to express that, and certainly you'll have to agree, there may only be one person in here that disagrees, and that'll be Jed, but I can deal with him. But everybody loves love, including Jed, my helper. He may have been unlucky in love a time or two, but even Jed loves love. Everybody loves love. There is no feeling we can experience, at least I'll speak for myself, perhaps you'll agree, there's just no feeling that feels better than being loved. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it keeps me going. I would just hate to not be loved. Yeah, don't get me wrong. As hard as this is to believe, there may be one or two people that have a hard time loving me. But for the most part, I am surrounded by, you know, a phenomenal amount of love, you know, and I just can't imagine living life in this world without that. And the parallel I'm trying to draw here, if I can do it well enough, is as much as things in life in this world can be difficult and complicated and hard for us to understand, the parallel that I'm trying to draw here, or the point that I'm trying to raise here, is in relation to God's love. I'm trying to express here that there's not a person in this world, if you live and breathe and exist on this planet, if you're not from another one, I'm pretty sure no one here is from another one, if you are living and breathing in this world, you're a beneficiary of God's great love. It doesn't matter if you despise God and anything about God. It doesn't matter if you are the most professing and profound atheist that ever walked this earth. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are living and breathing in this world, you are a beneficiary of God's incredible love, and there is no love like so loved, because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that the whole world through him might be saved, whosoever should choose to believe on him and accept him. And everybody in this world, everybody on this planet is a beneficiary of God's love, even if they hate and despise him, even if they don't acknowledge him as being, they are a beneficiary of God's love, and there's no love like God's love. I would like to put it this way to you this morning to help you understand Dr. David Jeremiah. This was in a message that he shared that I've listened to many times, and I'll try and say it as well as he did, and I know I won't do it as well, but humanity doesn't understand, even those that don't acknowledge God, that every human being on this planet is under the umbrella of God's incredible love. And a time will come. It's a little hard to understand that when so many bad things are happening in the world around us. You know, and you have people who are not Christians and not believers, and who are not or who are not sure that God can be real, that are constantly reminding us he can't be real or all these bad things wouldn't be happening in the world that we live in. But I like the way Dr. David Jeremiah puts it. We are all, every human being on this earth is under the umbrella of God's incredible love. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be alive and existing in this world when God turns his back on this world and this world and all of humanity is no longer under the umbrella of God's incredible love. Because Dr. David Jeremiah puts it this way, and he says that this will be a time, no matter how you believe the end times are going to occur, whether there's a tribulation period to come, or whether you believe we're in a tribulation period here now, or whether you believe we won't be taken out of the world for the tribulation period. How I believe is in line with Dr. Jeremiah, that there will be a tribulation period on this earth, but don't distress. I'm not distressing. I don't plan on being here. I plan on being with my Lord and my Savior. This is how I believe. But the time that Dr. Jeremiah was speaking of and expressing in this message was that period of tribulation after the church has been taken out of the world and God turns his back on this earth and humanity. And Dr. Jeremiah puts it this way, and I have to agree. You think of the most horrible things that are happening in life and in the world around you and even in your own individual lives as you go through these hard things of watching loved ones battle cancer and having loved ones taken from this world and taken from your life prematurely. You think of the most horrible things that you can think of that you ever experienced in life. And you think of the horrible atrocities that are occurring as Christians are being killed in other lands for their faith. And you think of the most horrible, the most torturous, the most devastating things that are happening in the world around us. When God turns his back on this world and humanity, the most horrible things that are happening here now, Dr. Jeremiah says it this way, and I'll repeat him, they're child's play compared to what's going to happen to humanity. And in this world, when God turns his back on it, and we're no longer under his wonderful umbrella of love. So, indeed, everybody loves love. Whether you think you do or not, you love it. Because if love was taken away from you, you would realize, hey, I do love love. So, there you go, Jed. There's hope for you. But anyhow, I'm sorry, Jed, to pick on you. You make me feel comfortable up here. So, thanks for letting me lean on you. There's all different kinds of loves that we've all experienced in our lives. We're familiar with many different kinds of loves. We have love for friends, and we have love for family, and we have love for our significant other, me for my wife. And we are all familiar as well with different kind of loves directed and showered upon us. Certainly, my children's love is not the same love expressed towards me that my wife expresses. That would be extremely weird. And the same with my grandchildren. And we're all familiar with many different kinds of love. And the thing that's fascinating about love is, you just gotta love love. I mean, if you don't love love, I never just met anybody that doesn't. Love is an amazing and a beautiful and a precious thing, for sure and certain. And I'm going somewhere with this, but I don't know if I'll get there. But anyhow, we're all familiar with love, and it's all great. It's all, I'll take it all. I'll take the love from my wife. I'll take the love from my children. I'll take the love from my grandchildren. So far, that's been the best of all. I'm sorry, everybody else. I say it this way. Those of you who are grandparents know, and those of you who aren't yet, you'll come to understand these things. When people have grandchildren, everybody else turns into dog meat, and that's just the way it is. Grandkids rule. I've yet to experience great-grandkids. I don't know how that is. But, you know, there's just some amazing, there's just some incredible, there's just some precious forms of love that we are all familiar with, and you just gotta love it. You gotta love love. I love love. I just can't get enough love. Just keep loving me, Jed. I can't get enough. Don't stop. He's still working on that, but you just keep it coming, Jed. I'll take all that you can give, you know. And love is a beautiful and a precious and a wonderful thing, for sure and certain. And a lot of times, you know, and there's no love like God so loved the world. That's for sure and certain. I'm trying to draw a distinction between loves that are beautiful and precious and wonderful to us and how they don't even compare to God's great and incredible love, because there's no love like God so loved the world. You know, and, you know, God's love, there's all kinds of love, for sure and certain, and especially, well, I won't go there. I'm not well-versed enough in Greek and Hebrew to give you that kind of lesson or draw a distinction related to that. I've heard it done so often, but I'll just butcher it. But, you know, we use love differently perhaps than some other languages, like we love foods, we love this, we love that, we love this. And in some of the other languages like Greek and Hebrew, love means just one or two or three or four things, where we use it to describe many things. But no matter how you use love, whether it's a word that's more only used in certain ways for certain things more so than we do, it makes no difference. Love's a beautiful and a wonderful thing. And I'm struggling to get where I want to go, but I hope I will get there. You know, we use love to describe how we feel about people. We use love to describe how we feel about places. We use love to describe how we feel about things. But no matter how love's used, no matter how love is expressed towards you, no matter what your idea of love is and how it makes you feel, I hope to draw a conclusion that it's all great, it's all amazing, and I want all of it I can get, and I know you want all of it you can get, but I'm trying to express here and hope to accomplish it that there's no love like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we might have everlasting life. And that's difficult sometimes for us to grasp, because, you know, my wife loves me all the time, you know, that I'm with her. She's never not loving me. Even when she's angry with me, she loves me that much. She can't, she has a difficult time being angry with me, you know. And my children, they have always loved me so much. And I don't like to draw a distinction between children. I love them all. And I say it with the most power and most equality that I could. But, you know, there is a difference in children, in spite of the fact that my love for my three daughters was not different in any way. I loved them all as powerfully as I could. But they are all different, and she's the only one here, so the other two can't get jealous. When I would come home from work at the end of a day in the woods, there was no greater feeling than to see the excitement on my children's face. And they were always excited to see Dad, every one of them, for sure and certain. They were glad to see Dad. For some reason, they missed me. I'm not sure quite why. But, you know, and they all expressed it in their own way. But one of my children, who is the only one here today, she did it different than the others. You needed to be prepared when you walked in the door. And she probably doesn't even remember it, because she was so young at the time. But when Dad came home, When you walked in the door, you needed to be prepared. You needed to brace yourself because she would come and she would make a running giant flying leap from whatever distance away she could that she thought she could still reach dad, and she would jump up on her dad and wrap her arms around my neck as tightly as she could, and her legs the same. And she did it from a distance. You needed to be prepared. But you know, there's many different ways that love's expressed towards us that are precious. I could just go on and on, you know. But there's no love, no matter how great any of us are able to love someone and express it, there's no love like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I struggle with that sometimes, and I know all of you do too, when a loved one's suffering, like Brenda's been. We all struggle with it at times like that. And it's just tough sometimes to make yourself believe that God's love is greater than the love that causes a little girl to take a flying leap and wrap her arms and legs around a daddy. It's hard. It's hard for Jean right now, believing that God's love is greater than any love any of us can experience. When he's at the hospital, perhaps seeing the last moments of his wife's life on this earth, perhaps, God knows. It's hard when you lose that person that's so dear to you in life, seemingly senselessly or prematurely. It's hard to believe that God's love's greater than the greatest loves we know and experience in life. I shared this before, and I'll share it again. I think of Bob and Fern often. The hard things they had to endure in their lives, losing their children. And it's always been something that I hold in my heart when I'm going through hard times. I know I shared it before, I'll share it again, but when Keith was battling, and it would be at the most difficult times, when things weren't looking good for Keith, that I would try and somehow, you know, express my care towards Bob. And I would always ask him, how's Keith doing, you know, even knowing already before I asked that he wasn't doing well. And then Bob would always tell me the, you know, the bad news, you know, and how it's going. And it just always fascinated me, and it's always been an inspiration to me. At the end of his telling me how grim it looked and how bad it was, he would just say, God is good. You know, and that's what we have to remember. There's no love like the greatest loves that we experience in life. There's no love like God's love, but it's hard sometimes. It's really, really hard when you're going through these things to really believe that there's no love like God's love. But, you know, there just is. I'll share an experience from my own life. I shared it long ago. I'll share it again. You know, my dad had his own battle with cancer for 9 years, and a lot of that time, you know, were good times as he would be on this medicine that was really attacking the cancer. And he'd have some good times, and I got to experience some great times with my dad in that last 9 years. It wasn't all horrible suffering. But then the medicine they were using would begin to attack organs and other good things in his body, and he couldn't take it anymore. And then, you know, the cancer would get ahead, and he would have hard times, just horrible suffering, you know. And then they would experiment with another drug that would work, and then he'd get a little better again, and we'd share some good and beautiful times. And, you know, and Dad's battle for 9 years was back and forth like that. It was good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. And, you know, and I'm thankful that he fought hard, and I'm thankful that the Lord gave him that 8 or 9 years, you know, of time to prepare perhaps for leaving this world. But see, my dad would always tell me that he wasn't going to die because the Lord showed him life. And, you know, my dad and I were close. I don't want to say we were closer than that. I do want to say it. My dad loved me more than any of my brothers because I didn't have any. So I don't want to say that my bond with my father was different perhaps than someone that had a great bond with their father, but it was good. I was his only son. All the love that a father has to bestow upon a son, I didn't have to share it with no brothers. I got it all. So my dad and I were close, and my dad would always look in my eyes at his hardest times. And sometimes the doctors would tell us, there's no hope. There's nothing we can do. It just, you know, it is what it is. And my dad would always take my hand and he'd look in my eyes and he'd say, I'm not going to die, son. Your daddy showed me life. And a few times he made it out of that hospital bed, much to the doctor's surprise. He defied what they thought was going to occur. And when that would happen, I'd become even more determined that Dad's right. God's going to deliver him of this disease. Dad's right. But the words that Dad always spoke to me was, son, your daddy's not going to die. The Lord showed me life. So when my dad encountered what would be his last battle in life, his organs were shut down. There was for sure and certain this time absolutely no hope, short of a miracle that God touched him and he sprung up out of that bed healed. He was a dead man, still breathing, not breathing very much. And you know, and as the story goes, and as I told it before, my dad passed away November 5th, 1993. But for 9 years, all I ever heard was, son, your daddy's not going to die because the Lord showed me life. And I can tell you, no greater time in my life. You each have your own time. You each have your own experience that's painful and was hard for you to go through. But I can tell you, no greater time in my life did I wonder. No time in my life ever before or since have I ever experienced a time when I wondered, God, where is your love? I have been yours for so many years. I was saved as an 8-year-old boy, and you know, and my relationship with the Lord has just grown and grown, and he's become so precious to me, and I've experienced his love as something much greater and much more powerful than any love that anybody around me in life can bestow upon me. But yet here it was, my dad was taken away when he believed in this great almighty God was going to, he was going to live because the Lord showed him life. But yet, he went home to be with the Lord, and I was angry with God, and it was my moment of wondering, where is this great love? Where is this great love of this awesome God that knows how to love more than we know how to, that I have always known and experienced and enjoyed all of my life? Where is it at? Many of you have been in that place where you question, where is God's love? But I can tell you this, it's always there. We are under the umbrella of his love. If he would ever turn his back and take it away, you would know that there's no love like God's love. Because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In my sleep that night, whether it was a dream or whether in the spirit I was taken, whatever the experience was, it doesn't matter. And I'm not going to try and describe it to you. But I can tell you, in my sleep that night, as I lay questioning about to fall asleep, as I lay questioning, where is the love of this great God who knows how to love better than we even know how? God showed me a place, whether it was a dream, whether I had gone there in my spirit or whatever. It doesn't matter. All I can tell you is, and all that matters to me is, and it was more real to me than this world is or anything that ever happened in my life. And that's all that matters to me. But God showed me in a tiny glimpse. I can't give you a description of anything I saw. I admire anybody that had an out-of-body experience or a heavenly experience and came back and makes an attempt to describe what they seen. I admire them. I won't do it, and I can't. There aren't words in human vocabulary to describe what I seen in a very moment, in a very instant of time. And I can tell you this, then I discovered that there's no love like God so loved the world. There's just nothing like it. He's always there. He never leaves you. I know there'll be times, and I know right now Gene has to be sitting by the bed of his loving wife wondering how can you be this great God of love, and I have to see and endure these things. But I can tell you this, in a moment of time, I fell asleep questioning where is God's great love, and then I seen that his love's greater than we can even comprehend. I wouldn't do anything if I had the power to bring back my dad into this realm that we exist in. No, there's nothing like God's love. There's nothing like what he has in store for all of humanity because he loves us so much. There's nothing like the love that he has to bestow on you above and beyond what he bestows on us in this life. You just can't imagine. You can't believe it. You won't even be able to believe it when you see it. It's just amazing. It's incredible. And you know, all I'm trying to accomplish here is this morning is just to let you know what I know all of you know, but yet we all ask that same question when we're going through those hard times. You know, there's no love like God's love. There just isn't. And it's how you get through those times. It's how Bob was always able to say, God is good, even when the circumstances in his life weren't good. It's how I was able to press on in life because I didn't know how I could live and exist in this world without my dad. I'll tell you how. God's love was way bigger than dad's, and his was big. My dad knew how to love and let you know that he loved you. But he was nothing compared to God. God's love is just amazing. I love this story. I'll close with it. It's not my own, and I shared it before. I borrow it from Matthew Hagee, and perhaps he borrowed it from somebody. I can't tell you. Imagine, if you would, your son, your own precious child, being brutally murdered, not quickly and swiftly, brutally, slowly, and painfully, tortured and murdered. Imagine this happening to your own son. Imagine they caught the person that perpetrated these acts upon your son, and they put him in jail. Imagine if you somehow were able to take a gun into that jail where he was incarcerated and put that gun against his head and shoot him. I'd have a hard time blaming you. And you could call that vengeance well served. Imagine then, if you would, this scenario. They caught the perpetrator that did these horrible, atrocious things to your son. Imagine going to the court hearings and watching him under the justice system be found guilty and incarcerated for life, or put on death row. That would be what we call justice, well served. And you each can imagine either of those scenarios, but try this. Imagine, if you will, they caught the man that perpetrated these atrocities upon your only son and took his life, tortured him painfully and slowly, and took his life. Imagine going to the jail where he was incarcerated and getting him out of that cell and wrapping your arms around him and loving him. And then imagine further taking him home and feeding him a wonderful meal at your table. And then imagine further, if you will, that you took this person that inflicted these horrible atrocities on your only son, and you took him to your only son's bedroom. And there you are with the man that killed your son so brutally, in your own son's bedroom, surrounded by the things that are his and the things that remind you of him, and all the things that your son held precious to himself. Imagine taking this man that perpetrated these atrocities upon your son and putting him in your son's bed and tucking him in and kissing him goodnight and telling him everything that was my son's, I now give to you. That's love. There's no love like God so loved the world, because that's what God did for me and for you and for whosoever will simply believe on him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He suffered and he bled and died. I might as well have been the one inflicting those atrocities upon Jesus on the cross. I might as well have been the one, because he died for my sin, and he died for your sin, and he died for the sins of the whole entire world, so that whosoever would simply believe on him and accept him could have everlasting life. I'm the one that inflicted those atrocities upon God's only son, and God took me and he tucked me in his son's bed, and he said, all of the things that were my son's, now they're yours. And there is no love like that kind of love. I'm not able to express it. And no one in this world is able to express it. And we can wonder a lot of times as we're going through hard times, because I did, where is God's love? But I can tell you, if he would ever take it away, you wouldn't believe what happened next. It would make the most horrible thing you were going through look simple and easy and not so bad, you know. And really all I wanted to do this morning is I really just had Gene and Brenda on my heart, because that's the reason I'm up here. And I know, because we all went through it, Gene has to be wondering, come on, God, you know, come on, where's your love? You know, I just feel for Gene and what he's going through, and feel for Brenda as well, you know, or even more so, because she's the one suffering so much physically, and Gene's suffering so much emotionally. And you know, I just wanted to express to you this morning, as hopefully my message title expressed, there's no love like God so loved the world. Even when we question it, even when we wonder, you know, there's just no love like it. And I'd sure hate to live and breathe in this world without it. And I went long enough for sure. We'll make this prayer time. If anybody would like to come to be anointed this morning,